I'm John.
And I'm Ash.
And this is sort of a pseudo emergency edition of You're Damn Right. We somehow managed to not record our Talk of Empire and American Horror Story the other day. And we feel like we should probably make sure that's available to anyone who cares to listen. We do it every week, so it should be there for especially the final episode of Empire. That said, Ash, what a final episode it was. Do you care to enlighten us as to give us a grade, A through F? How do you grade the winter finale of Empire?
As a winter finale of Empire, I'll probably give it C minus.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I don't know. I'm not gonna be so harsh as to give it an F. This was the soapiest of soaps for an hour, and there was a hostile takeover on the board. There was Anika going full on like mental psychopath and trying to kill Rhonda, maybe succeeding, probably not. There was Hakeem, you know, of course, deciding to side with the old British lady.
Why'd you call her old?
Because she's like 40 and he's like 20. It's like twice his age. That definitely makes her old.
Makes her older, not old.
Old for him. Like, when you're 20, 40 is old, man.
That's true.
So, I guess let's start with what I know is a favorite topic of yours, or least favorite topic of yours, perhaps. What has happened to Anika? To Boo Boo Kitty?
I don't know. Like, her storyline is probably the most frustrating to me. I think that I liked that. I wouldn't just want to say I liked it. Her story in the beginning, you know, in the beginning of the season, it was, you know, her trying to find her place after, you know, being Lucius, you know, girl and, you know, losing her job and all that, you know. So her working with Lion Dynasty would have been perfect for it. But this fucking storyline where she's, like, going batshit crazy over this fucking teenage boy is the most infuriating part of the fucking show at this point.
It's insane.
And there's a lot of things. Yeah, it's like, you know the 90s movie, the movies in the 90s when you got, like, the crazy white lady and them thrillers, like, single white female and hands that rocks the cradle, you know, tractor? That's what Anika has become.
That's exactly what she has become. And even worse, because at least they were, like, I don't know, going crazy over, like, their peers. Like, Anika is going crazy over, like, what you said, a teenager of, like, the man she used to bang. Like, her ex-fiancé's little boy. So, I mean, okay, here's the real problem. Like, somebody online last week said something to the extent of, like, of course Anika and Rhonda are going to have smaller storylines as the show progresses. Why, of course? That doesn't make sense to me. But more importantly, even if you're giving them smaller storylines, it's not the size of the storyline, it's the quality of it. What has happened to Rhonda was she became nothing but a mother, like a symbol of motherhood. And Anika has become, like, the symbol of, I don't everything wrong with the perception of female culture, that, like, she needs a man, and she needs a baby, and she needs this male support in her life. And from a show that in the first season was, you know, honest, if it was, but still somewhat progressive, to the storylines that are occurring right now are not only not well done. I mean, the music when Nika pushes Rhonda down the stairs goes, doom, 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 aren't you terrified? When Hakeem decides to vote with the eyes, the music says, doom, are you surprised? And it's just like, no, just quit with that. And it's not just that things are so, you know, blatant that we know what's going to happen 30 minutes before they happen. It's also, like, the message being communicated with these poorly done storylines right now is unfortunate. It's unfortunate that the strong women of this episode and this season, not named Cookie, are all, like, giving all of their social and personal power over to men. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. it's
And
getting
our
ridiculous.
one gay character is like making out with the opposite sex, and then they quickly reversed on, and I'm like, so is that just like a ploy to get somebody to talk about it? Because there is no point to that now.
Yeah, there was like no point to it because he's totally just, like he's still gay. So like, okay, that was random as hell. So I don't know.
Yeah, and then the next, like, they ended the episode with it. That was the end of that. That was your cliffhanger. Was
Yeah.
like, is
The
Haki, or
cliffhanger.
is Jamal, like, interested in this woman? Sorry, new episode. Nope. 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 Sorry. Okay. It reeks of being unplanned and unprepared, as I've talked about. They didn't have long to film it. I hope Empire gets its act together by March,
Yeah.
because season one was a very good television show. Season
Yeah.
one wasn't perfect. It wasn't Fargo, but it was well acted, and it was well conceived. It was all started with this King Lear concept of Lucius's health and what's going to happen to his empire, and we've gotten so far away from all of that now that it's. Did you ever watch The OC?
No.
Okay. Well, the OC was very, po very, very popular. Almost Empire level popular for like its first year and a half. First
Yeah.
year and a half. But what it did is that the more so more longer it went, the soapier it became. It was always sort of a soap, but it became soapier and soapier, and it burned through storylines. It burned through all its storylines so fast and like forgot about them that by like the end of season two, season three, it didn't have much left to tell. And what it was telling, the stories it was telling, were things nobody cared about. And I feel like Empire's in danger of that. I'm not saying it's there yet, but we're getting in a danger zone of like, this was extremely popular for a year. Its ratings have dropped off a little bit in the past half season, but they're still high. But now there's a little backlash of people going like, wait, this isn't as good anymore.
Yeah. And as someone who used to watch soap operas all the time, like soap operas are and like they could be very dangerous to like because soap operas run like 5 days a week for like years. And it can burn through storylines or it could drop storylines very easily and it can mess things up very easily and that's what I feel like Empire is doing. And hopefully yeah, they do get their act together like by March. They have time.
One more thing I want to say is like Hakeem is the worst. I mean, not just because he's like decided that he's no longer infatuated with Spanish girls, or because he turned Anika into like this crazy stalker. Or even just because he's like really into old British ladies. Like, no, that's not why Hakeem. It's not even his mommy issues. Like, in the season, in the preview for like March, Hakeem jumps up on a table and goes, "This is my birthright." And I'm like, wait, being CEO of a billion-dollar company is your birthright? No. No, you
Well,
weren't. Nobody is born with that kind of a birthright. Like, your
yeah.
birthright is you get to breathe and then die and pay some taxes before you go. I don't. Nobody has this sort of like you are lucky and fortunate that you were born into this place where this is even a possibility for you. But he honestly believes that he is entitled to being Lucius, even though he's done nothing. He didn't build the empire that Lucius built. He just slept with some old British lady who happened to, backroom happenings take it over.
That's true. Well, I think. Well, I was thinking about this. But I think a lot of that is should be probably on Lucius as well, 'cause he the one who raised them that way. You know, he literally like promised them empire and then like spoiled the shit out of this kid. You know, and he was trying to shape him to be the heir, and he gave the he was giving empire to his brother, who he didn't even really like care about. So it was. You know, I can see like ways like, he just got
One thing we
but yeah.
didn't talk about last week, I forgot to bring up. There's this scene where Cookie was with her sister and they were looking for the other sister, and Lucius came up and she was like, said something bad about him, but she was like, at least he raised them boys right or something. And I was just like, what?
Another
He did
flat.
what? Like, they're all fucked. Like, Jamal is the only one that is, like, semi not fucked up, and he was basically abused or ignored for, his sexual orientation. One of them is completely mentally damaged, and the other is a spoiled little bitch.
Exactly.
Like.
Like that, these kids are pretty much not that okay.
I mean, I guess if we're giving the show the benefit of the doubt, they're just trying to speak to how parents often don't see their children as they really
Yeah,
are.
I was thinking about that too. It's like, but the thing is like on the kids and stuff. It was like Lucius, he didn't really nurture his fucking kids. Like a lot of people think, like, oh, parents be like, oh, I, put food on the table, I got a roof over your head, but it takes a lot more than that to parent someone. It takes a lot more to
Absolutely.
take care of somebody. So,
Yeah.
like,
He
Lucius.
doesn't. He didn't provide the sort of emotional, mature support that they needed. And it's not all on Lucius. Like, their mother was off in prison, and I mean, so I mean, they were in a fucked up situation, and maybe that's why they. But I feel like it's a little unfair and way too much on the nurture side of nature nurture to say, like, the only reason Hakeem is a brat is because, like, his dad didn't show him enough attention. Like, he's a brat because he's a brat. Like, his brothers aren't nearly as much of an asshole as he is. And it was clear from the beginning, like, and on the point of, like, parents not seeing their children how they really are, I think everyone in the audience knew that Hakeem was going to screw over Lucius. Like, that was
Yeah,
just.
it wasn't a shock.
Yeah. I mean, I think the show wanted it to be the way it was scored, the way it was directed, and it zoomed in on Hakeem and then showed everybody's reaction. But, like, certainly was not a shock to us. And, I mean, the fact that Cookie did not see that coming, or Cookie was dumb enough to trust her vote by proxy to Hakeem, which still makes no sense since she was there for the vote.
Yeah, to not run it. I was so blown at Cookie. As soon as Cookie was like, Hakeem is gonna do my vote, I was like, you fucking
That
idiot.
was
Like,
bad. What was worse was she was right there. Like, she said this
yes.
whole thing about how she couldn't get there, and then the vote went down, but she already signed her vote away, and she was, like, in the next room, separated by some glass, just so she could spit on a bitch.
Which wasn't even good spit. It was like lack of mucus or something.
Really? I'm not critiquing people's spit, like, yeah.
Sorry,
So,
but so
I'm
like,
gonna leave that to you.
yeah, I was okay. I was just like, it was more of a spray and not more of a plop.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know which is worse. Either one gets your ass beat.
Yeah, it was like Camilla, whoop her ass. Like, you're not gonna whoop her. That's like the ultimate disrespect, right there.
Got
It's
to
not
beat that old British lady. Should have beat her ass. That's what should have happened.
somebody spit on you. Like this, please. But yeah, and the thing about Cookie, I was like, okay, your time, like, I get it, you got some shit you need to deal with, but can you please do that, like, at another time? Like, maybe write her, the brat, I couldn't remember her character's name, a letter, to get some
The old
visitation,
British lady.
and I was like,
OBL.
and I was like, what the hell? It's like, this is a crucial moment. You left this in the hands of Hakeem, whose whole story this season was hating his father, pretty much.
Basically. Also, he got kidnapped, but we forgot about that.
Yeah, and that got dropped. Like,
On the note of, like, storylines being burned through and quickly forgotten about, like, there needs
yeah.
to be weight. There needs to be, like, emotional weight behind what is currently happening. And that only happens by building up the world behind it and around it. And one thing we talk about with, like, How to Get Away with Murder, we've talked about, is how it does a really good job of, like, letting you feel the weight of everything that's going on and building suspense and building, like, emotional tension. What you don't, the exact opposite way of doing that is what Empire's been doing, which is just like, this happened, now it's over. This happens, now it's over. They're
Yeah.
all, nothing is ever over. Like, they all form part of who we are. You don't just do things and then they're over and they don't matter anymore. That's not
Exactly.
accurate.
That's not how things work. But boy had PTSD for like half an episode, and that's it.
It's it. Points a gun at somebody, and he's healed.
Yeah. Oh, God, this show's frustrating. Yeah, I really do. I hope we get this act together. I really do.
We
should have a lot more time by now.
Yep. So, I guess we should talk about another frustrating show. This is just like the mini pod of frustration. American Horror Story Hotel, where we had a 50-minute reveal of something the audience has known for weeks. was there any doubt at any point during this episode that John was going to kill his partner?
No.
Like, anybody who can count can be like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Oh, we got one more to go.
Yeah. Like,
which,
this is like, this is the reveal of, like, you know, his, you know, partner was, you know, with his wife. It was like, yeah, he's definitely going to kill this guy now.
Which, I understand the show has a lot of references, like the fact he didn't know what he was or what he was becoming. He's in this hotel. It's all alluding to The Shining. The fact that there is one murder left to go and there's this scene with the cop sort of alludes to Seven. But in Seven, the big reveal is that Brad Pitt sees his, the detective, Brad Pitt, sees his wife's head in a box and he's the one that loses it and kills. Like, there's no... like, it was so obvious what was going to happen all along, and the whole show seemed to be predicated around the idea that this was a big reveal and surprise, which is something that you picked up on a week or two before I did, and you picked up on it like 2 months ago. The entire audience knew this was coming.
Exactly. Like, it wasn't a shock. Like, in the beginning of the episode, when Sally was trying to, like, tell him, like, trying to let him figure it out, and he's saying all this stuff, like, listen to what you're saying. Of course, like, think about it. Think about what she's saying. Like, she told you no one had a key to get into your room.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like, hello. They're like, the bell's not going off, sir.
I mean, more frustratingly to me, we've abandoned other stories. I mean, in Fargo. There are things, and in The Leftovers, other shows we talk about. There are shows that focus on like specific episodes that are very, like, one character driven. Yeah. And they will focus on the character for the entire time. But while that is happening, you have an idea of the timeline elsewhere. Fargo more so than The Leftovers. But on both of them, you know what is happening in the outside world while this is happening internally for the character, and it all fits within one larger story.
Yeah.
I don't know what John Lowe has to do with thematically or even, like, tangentially. It's hard to figure out what the Ten Commandments killer storyline has to do with those vampire kids. And what those vampire kids have to do with, like, the lady who wants to kill the Countess, her ex-lover, who's coming back next week. It's just hard to see how all of this fits together. And they're, like, these random storylines, and they don't get tied in, and they don't interact. And so, it'd be cool if, like, the vampire kids, I guess, showed up in the hotel. I don't know. It's hard to make the vampire kids cool, but they should at least come back some way. We shouldn't just have about 40 minutes of our lives, like, say, oh, that happened, and now it's gone.
Yeah. It's like, there's a bunch of vampire children running around the city. Like, there's no... like, at least have, like, a random news report about, you know...
Exactly.
You know, children, because you know they're going home to kill the family, so it's like, or probably changing their siblings or something, and it's like a little news report in the background would help, you know.
It would, it really would. I mean, that's just sloppy. And I asked you on our deleted version of this, how do you feel about the idea of, instead of doing American Horror Story in the way it's been the past couple of years, where there's all these stories thrown into one season, what if they did something more like The Twilight Zone, where they told a different story completely unconnected each week, and each week is like this new, bizarre, scary world?
I think it, you know, going down that route, I think it could actually really work. You know, I understand, you know, the structure that they're going for, you know, somewhat serialized, you know, horror story, you know. But it could actually work. I mean, it's the reason why horror movies work, because it's not over a long period of time, and, you know, et cetera. And so it could work, you know, doing it that way.
Could. And I don't want to say a horror series can't work, because The first couple seasons of American Horror Story worked, but season three, I liked it. I don't know if it worked. Season four was a mess for me, and season five's been worse, and we're just going in a bad trajectory. And it might just be as simple as if the creators gave all of their creative focus to this one show and not to two or three others, American Crime Story coming up and Scream Queens, it might resolve a lot of problems. But since that's not going to happen, I don't know. I mean, there should be some way whether it's that or hiring a different showrunner. Like, hire a showrunner to come in and clean up the mess. To be like, we created this thing, we think there's a lot of good stuff here, but it's sloppy and it feels disconnected, and we need somebody to come in and, like, clean it up and straighten it out. And, like, that would be a good role for someone to come in and play a part for American Horror Story that would be much more important than any of the actors. Like, that's something the show desperately needs. What it doesn't need is another, like, pop star performance.
It reminds me of when Joss Whedon was doing trying to do three shows at once.
Yeah.
But, like, he was doing Buffy, Angel, and Firefly.
Yeah.
And he was, but Buffy, for sure, was suffering for it. You know, was suffering for it because his focus was on it. And some Angel was suffering from it as well because most of his focus at this point was on Firefly, you know, his new, you know, show. So, yeah, it kind of reminded me of that.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I don't know that Buffy or Angel ever suffered to the degree of nonsense that American Horror Stories under. I don't know. I was shocked to learn that we still had like 5 episodes to go and that we're going to keep going after Christmas. So we can look forward to that or begrudge that, but we have a little while to go. Maybe they figure out a way to tie these storylines together. Maybe they figure out a way to make me care about people. You know, we've talked about before, I like Liz Taylor. I sort of like Kathy Bates, but all of these main characters, the murderers and the vampires and the ghosts, I'm just like,
I don't care.
It was kind of funny at first. I'm sort of over Evan Peters, like, being front, like, talking like he's being.